Thank you, Rebecca, for your song. And yeah, it ties in very closely to our series that we're in this fall, going through the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. And the series we've subtitled is Meaningless. A very hopeful series, because I think what the teacher, this wise guy in the book of Ecclesiastes, is doing is helping us to not walk the meaningless life. Now, in the Beckert home, I think fathering can really be summed up, defined with two words, at least as it relates to our home. So maybe your father, it doesn't relate to you. But in our home, fathering really can be defined in two words. The two words are this: fix it guy. Pretty much is everything I do as a dad, okay? I'm just the fix it guy. It's like the bike tire is not staying full, dad, and I go fix it, right? And, you know, the chain fell off, dad, and I go fix it. And, you know, the guitar strap broke, it's like, dad, and I go fix it. And, you know, the toy broke, it's like, dad, and I go fix it. And there's stuff, you know, that my kids didn't even do, other than the holes in the wall, which is dad, and then I fix it. But there's other things, right? It's like the dishwasher is leaking, or the fridge isn't working, and the dryer's not heating, and it's like, I'm the fix-it guy. Now, I'm not a great fix-it guy, but it's amazing what YouTube and Crazy Glue can do, right? I mean, it's pretty amazing. And so I'm just the fix-it guy. And it seems like that's just my role as a father. And for the most part, it's actually not all that bad. I don't mind being the fix-it guy. There is a real satisfaction that comes with when your child or your wife comes to you and says, hey, could you, this is not working. And like the satisfaction of like fixing it and then seeing the joy in their face, we're like, it works again. It's like, yeah, I'm the fix it guy, right? And there's a joy in that. And it can be really, really fun. But there's also a love-hate relationship here, isn't there? And there's at least two reasons why I hate being the fix it guy. And the one is when the braking train is moving faster than the fix-it train. You know what I'm saying? And you're like fixing, 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 and it's just like the things that need fixing are just piling up, and you're like, I can't keep up, and it's just like, I don't want to be the fix-it guy anymore, right? But even worse than that for me is when you're the fix-it guy and what you've been fixing keeps breaking, or what you keep fixing doesn't stay fixed. And it's like you're running on this treadmill of fixing, and yet it's never really arriving. You know, as it relates to the fix-it guy, that's me, this summer was the summer of disappointment as the fix-it guy. We bought something in early summer, a used something previously owned, and we learned some, you know, wisdom through this as well. We probably didn't walk with the most wisdom in the purchase, but that's besides the point. We bought this used something, and under the impression that it was all working, only to find that it was not. And so I became the fix-it guy, right? I mean, we bought this used thing that I was going to fix it. And this entire summer, it felt like for me, every spare moment was like, keep fixing. And every time I kept fixing, there was more stuff that was breaking or just wasn't really fixed. And I was so frustrated. In fact, the very week I was preparing this message, the day before, we thought we had done our final fix. And you know, the anticipation and joy that comes when you're like, it's gonna work. And we finished the fix, and we found out not only did the fix not work, there's more things that weren't working. And I remember in that moment, and I had this feeling, I'm gonna tell you the feeling, but when you hear the feeling, you're gonna be like, that's an over-exaggeration. Of course it is. Feelings aren't fair. And they're not rational. That's why they're feelings, right? They don't think. So this was what I felt. And it's not rational, but it is true to how I felt. This was my feeling. I don't like my life. It's true. That night, I'm like, I don't like my life. And in the moment, my thinking, you know, started kicking in, not just my feeling. And I'm like, you know, that's irrational. That's not like, you know, there's a lot of things I like about my life, like my wife and my kids and I love my church and my job. There's so many things I like, but I think I kind of rephrase it. I'm like, you know, I don't like this version of my life, right? I'm in this season right now of like disappointment after disappointment after maybe there's hope. No, there's just disappointment. I don't like this version. I don't like this season of my life. And maybe you're kind of there. Maybe it's not as the fix-it guy or fix-it girl. Maybe for you, you're in a season right now where you're like, this is the season of dead-end roads. And I just go down one road to a dead end, to another road that's a dead end, to another road that's a dead end. And you're like, I don't like this version of my life. Maybe for you, you're like Lauren and Logan. They just got engaged. I don't know, am I even allowed to say that? Come on, that's exciting. Nice work, Logan. Maybe you like your life. I don't know. Do you got maybe? I don't know. I didn't even put you on the spot. But maybe you're in a season where you're like everything's just falling into place, and you're like, I love this version of my life. I was in a season where I was like, I don't like this version of my life. What's interesting, I think as I came, so this was like the day before I studied the passage we're going to study today. I think God in his, I think he has a sense of humor, I don't know. But through this season, I had to wrestle with a question. In fact, I think this is a question that the teacher from Ecclesiastes is going to point us to in the season of life we're in. And in the season of fixing this thing that was just continually broken, I had this thought, I did not choose this season. I don't want this season. I didn't choose this season. Yes, I made a bad decision. Maybe I'm going to be wiser next time when I buy something used. But here's the deal. I didn't choose this season where every waking moment I felt like I'm fixing this thing that can't be fixed. I didn't choose this season. And it's like God started pointing at my heart about something. I think the teacher's going to lead us here. And the question I started to wrestle with, and as I started to step into this season and this passage was this. How will you respond to life? Not the life you dreamt of, not the life you wished for or wanted. Maybe you got it, maybe you didn't. But how are you going to respond to life as it is? Whether you feel like you chose it or it chose you. Whether you want it to last another 30 years or you wish it was over 30 years ago. How will you respond to life? As it is. Comedian singer Mark Laurie says this, is so, I love it. He says, my favorite verse in the Bible is this, and it came to pass, and that's it. That's his favorite verse. But what he says is it's a reminder that if you're in a hard season that you're like, I wish it was over, hold on, it'll pass. It's a season. And if you're in a difficult, or you're in a season where it's like everything's falling into place, you're like, I hope this lasts forever. Hold on. It will pass. How do you respond to life as it is? And what the writer, or the teacher in Ecclesiastes is going to do is he's going to describe, here's life. And as you hear the description, you'll be like, yep, that's my life. Yep, that was my life. Yep, that's probably going to be my life. He describes life for us. He makes a few observations about life, and then he gets to the answer to this question. Here's life. Some of it you like, some of it you don't. Here's some observations about life under the sun. And he says, here's how we, in wisdom, are to respond. So if your Bibles, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. First he describes, I'm going to read a bunch of verses that describe life. And you're going to be like, probably find yourself nodding along. You're like, I've been there. Yeah, I'm there right now. And then we'll talk about it a little bit before we get to the observation and the answer that he gives to this question. So starting with the description of life, he says, there is a time, verse 1 of chapter 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. I don't know if you were counting, but there's 28 times. 28 seasons that the teacher gives. Now, a few observations before we dive into it a little bit more in depth. A few observations. First of all, it seems to be a list of opposites, doesn't it? It's like there's birth and there's death. There's tearing and there's mending. There's building and there's breaking, right? It's like there's these opposites that the teacher seems to be doing. So there's 28 seasons or 28 times divided by two. All you guys are smart. All you kids are here are smart. That's 14, right? There's 14 kind of lists of opposites. Another observation, there seems to be desirable and undesirable, right? In this list of opposites, probably as you heard them, you're like, oh yeah, I really liked that season of my life, or I can't wait for that one. And there's some you're like, oh, that was brutal, or I'm in that season right now. There's some that are desirable and sometimes that are undesirable. Here's the interesting thing. We may not all agree as to which one's desirable. For one might say, that's desirable for me. The other says, no, that's not desirable for me at all. So it's not even that we agree on which ones are desirable, but it seems to be that way. Another observation is, this is a descriptive list, not a prescriptive list. It describes life as we experience it. It is not prescriptive in the sense that he's commanding us to do these seasons or to pursue these seasons. We are not asked to pursue either option. He simply describes, this is your life. Whether you like it or you don't like it, this is a description of your life and mine under the heavens. And the reason this is important is because we can get all caught up in what the teacher says regarding the ethical and moral grounds for those seasons. But he's not concerned about the ethical grounds or the moral grounds for any of the seasons. He simply describes them as they are. So let's dive back into the passage with this understanding of here's some observations and let's see what he says about our life, about your life. He says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And it came to pass. It didn't come to stay whether you wanted it to stay or not. And it came to pass. This is the world under the heavens. There is a time. There is a season. So he starts to describe them, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. It's almost like the teacher kind of zooms out 30,000 feet and says, what is life? Well, there's a start date and there's an end date, right? And undoubtedly, we have all experienced personally one of these two, right? If you've experienced both and you're here, that's just strange, okay? Okay. We have experienced personally birth, though I doubt any of us remember it. But here's the deal. We have experienced new life among those around us, haven't we? In fact, we had new life come into our church this week. Really exciting. And there is a joy and an excitement, anticipation of new life. But likewise, I imagine you've experienced the death of someone that was very close to you. And there is grief. Mourning. You've probably experienced a time to plant. This is like putting a seed in the ground, but you don't see the full outcome of that, right? It's like a dream that's planted, a vision for the future, something you're excited to live into, but you haven't lived into it yet. There's a time to plant. There's a time for dreaming about what's coming, but there's also a time when our dreams die. And what we planted and what we even experienced comes to an end. There's an uprooting. So painful. The question is, how will you respond to life? This is your life. Birth and death. Planting and uprooting. How will you respond to life? Not as you wanted it, but as it is. He goes on. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, in my mind, I like some of these more than the other, right? Like, I would way rather choose healing over killing or deathing, right? I love building more than tearing down, right? I love laughing more than weeping. And the last one, I don't know what to do with that as a Mennonite, okay? I don't know what to do with the whole dancing thing. So like as Mennonites, we're just always in mourning. I think that's just how it works. I don't know. Right? But we may not agree. Right? Some of you love to tear down. You're like, demo day is the best day, right? Tear it all down. Yeah, let's go. We may not agree. Here's the thing. How will you respond to life? Life as it is. He goes on. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. You know, I think in some of these seasons, our personality plays into how much we experience them as well, right? You know, as it relates to embracing, I have a son that like he lives in the season of embracing. He's just the hugs guy, right? It's just always, always the season of hugging. But my other son, if you want to experience like one of the more awkward moments in your life, give him a hug. He's like, I don't know what to do with you right now, right? It's always the season to not embrace, right? So I think personality plays into this as well, right? What season you're in. You know, for some of you, you're keepers. There's a word for you, hoarders. But like you just live in the season of keeping, right? And there's others of you that you just live in the season of throwing away. And in our family, we have both. And so like Mondays is like tear day sometimes because it's garbage day. And my wife is a thrower. So she's like throwing stuff away. And sometimes our kids are like going through the garbage before like, you know, Monday. Because they're like, what did she like hide and throw away? That's mine, right? I'm more the hoarder. I'm the keeper, right? And so like I'm the guy, maybe this is you, when I'm doing a project and like I got a scrap piece of wood. I'm like, I'm saving that. You never know when you're gonna need that scrap piece of wood, right? And so like we have scrap pieces of wood that's been like in our shop for 10 years, right? But my wife, she's always throwing stuff away. And so the best days, I'll tell you the best days. The best days when I'm working on a project, I'm like, oh, you know that piece of wood I was storing 10 years ago? I need it right now. I'm like, Maddie, come on. I found the reason for this wood and I go to find it, only found out she threw it out 7 years earlier. I don't even have it anymore. So to bring it full circle, the reason I'm the fix-it guy, I got to keep my value in the house or she'll throw me out, right? So this is just how it works. There's different seasons. And sometimes we live in some seasons longer than others, but I bet no matter what your personality is, and you may live in a season longer, there is a season for both. The question is, how will you respond to life? How will you respond to life as it is? He goes on. There's a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. Husbands, don't hit your wife right now on the silent thing, okay? Just a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time for war and a time for peace. And he does not say, here's the ethical or moral grounds for it. He simply says, in life under the heavens, this is your life. How will you respond to life as it is? See, for some of you, you've done some things in your life that have led to some outcomes in your life. And you'd love to go back and undo that. For me, it's like if we could just repurchase that or not purchase, I've learned some wisdom. But regardless of whether we're in a place in our life because of our doing, The reality is you can't go undo that. The question is this: how will you respond? You're in this place now. How will you respond to life as it is? And in some moments, our lives are chosen for us by others or just the way life goes. And we're in a season. And what we're held responsible to is this word right here. How will you respond, even when you didn't choose it? How will you respond to life as it is? Well, the teacher dives into some observations about what he's just told us about our lives before he gets to the answer to this question. And here's a few observations. He says this: what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. So he looks at all these 28 seasons, these opposites, these experiences that we will have under the heavens. And he asks this question, and this is the question he starts all of his teaching off. If you remember from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3, what do people gain? What do the workers gain? And so we mend only to tear again, only to mend again. What was gained? So we are birthed and we are brought to life, and then we die and more people are born. What was gained? And so we plant and then later uproot only to plant again. In the end, what was gained? This is his question, right? It's a good question. So what's gained? And then he says this: seeing all that's been happening and that there is really nothing gained in this under the heavens, he says this: I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. Now we think of burdens as bad. Burdens is just what you have to live with. There is a weight that humans have to live with. This is your life. You don't get to undo it. So he says, here's the weight. But listen to what he says. God has laid. And here's the first observation I think he's going to take us to and come back to over and over. We are not God, but there is one who is. God has laid this burden. We don't get to undo it. This is life. We simply live in it. And the sooner we take ourselves off of the throne of divinity and accept our humanity, the sooner we remove ourselves from understanding that we are not immortal, we are mortal under the heavens. The sooner we accept our limits, because we are not God, we receive life from him. Even the burden of life, the weight of life comes from him. Because we're not God, the sooner we accept that, the better off we are in bearing the weight of life as it is. This is your life. How will you respond? So he goes on to make another observation. He says, he, that's God, has made everything beautiful in its time, in its season. So all 28 seasons are beautiful. Now we think of beautiful as like intrinsically beautiful. I think it's a misunderstanding. What he's saying is everything has an appropriate, it's this beautiful working together. It's appropriate in its own season. As much as death is hard, we understand when someone lives a long, full life and they come to the end, it's just this appropriate next season of death. We understand that although there are times to mend, it's an appropriate season to tear. Although it's so much fun to plant, there is an appropriate season to uproot. It's beautiful in its own time. It's appropriate. This is life. And so even with all our questions about life and the burden, the weight of life, we understand it kind of all works together, doesn't it? But there's something in us that pushes back, and that's what the teacher says next. Yeah, he has also, although this is true, it's beautiful in his time, he has also set eternity in the human heart. There is something in us that says, no, but there's got to be more than what I see under the heavens. There's got to be more than this temporal world, and we can't quite make sense of it. But we long for the more. We long for eternity, which is where God dwells. We long for our Father in heaven. There's got to be something more. So it's beautiful in its time, but there's got to be something more, which leads us to his conclusion of this list of observations. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We understand everything's beautiful in its time, and yet we long for more, but we can't make sense of it all together. There are not answers for everything. There is not an answer that we can get this side of eternity for every question we have, because we cannot fathom the grand scope of all that God is doing. What is this leading us back to? We are not God, but there is one who is. We are not the divine. See what he's doing? He's taking us off the seat of the divine. We're not on the throne. We don't control all outcomes. And all of our striving to try and grab and gain and get something from life, it's beyond us. So how will you respond to life? You can't grab it and control it. How will you respond to life as it is? He goes on, I know, and here's the answer to the question. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. In all the wrestle that we have, God, why did you allow this season? And he doesn't give an answer because we can't fathom all that God's done. What is our response? Here's the response he gives. Be happy and do good while you live. Now that sounds kind of surface, but you have to understand, if this is your first Sunday with us, he's already defined where happiness comes from. He's already shown us what goodness looks like. And guess what? It's not our version of happiness. In fact, if you weren't here last week, he defined the pathway to happiness. It's not our pursuit of happiness to grab it as an end. It's something we receive from God himself. This is the Coles Notes version. If you missed last week, go back and listen. But we saw that the pursuit of happiness finds its fulfillment in the pursuit of God. That as we understand, we aren't God and we can't chase pleasure to fill us, but as we pursue God, God enables us to be happy and to enjoy life, even as he's given the burden of life that he's laid on humanity. The pursuit of happiness finds its fulfillment in the pursuit, in the person of God. And we saw that happiness isn't something we take and grab. Happiness is something we receive as we pursue our Father in heaven, because happiness is in him. Joy is in him. Gladness comes from him. And so in our response, the answer is this. According to the teacher, he says, you can't make sense of it all, and you have a longing for more, but there's this kind of beautiful working together. So how are we to respond? Be happy. Receive happiness from God. And if you think, you know what, Ecclesiastes, it's Old Testament. Jesus changed the message in the New Testament. The answer is no. The Apostle Paul comes along hundreds of years after the teacher, and he says, in essence, the exact same thing. To the church in Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul writes this, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all seasons, in every time, in each circumstance you find yourself in. For this is what? God's will. This is in Christ Jesus. This is his will for you. To be happy, to accept as you pursue God, to receive the joy and happiness that he gives. That's how you rejoice always. And look what he says. Give thanks, not for all seasons. There are some seasons you're going to be like, God, make this one short. God, please end it soon. I don't like this season I'm in. But he says, give thanks in the middle of that season. He still called you by the will of the person of God through Jesus to give thanks, to rejoice always. It's what the psalmist said in Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. I didn't get to choose today. He chose it for me, but I get to live in it. I will rejoice and be happy, be glad in it. Rejoice always. The way the teacher said it is be happy. Not a cheap surface level happiness, a happiness that comes from your pursuit of your Father in heaven. And do good. Good comes from your Father in heaven. It all points back to God. The teacher continues, that each of you may eat and drink and find satisfaction in your toil. This too is a gift of God. Happiness, to do good, to find satisfaction in our toil, even when things keep breaking and you're in a season of fix-it guy. and you're a season of loss, our ability to have happiness and joy in every season, new beginnings and endings, comes from our Father in heaven. It's a gift he gives as we live under him and pursue him. And I think there's a misunderstanding in Christian faith. Many of us have this idea, Jesus just calls us to like sacrifice everything and you know, we can't have any fun. There's no enjoyment in life. In fact, we don't want to enjoy this world too much because that might mean that we're not looking forward to heaven, right? That's a complete misunderstanding of the New Testament, the misunderstanding of Jesus, and it's not understanding what the teacher's telling us either. When Jesus said, anyone who would follow me must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me, he's not saying must stop having an enjoyable life. To deny yourself and take up your cross is this. It's to take yourself off the throne and see Jesus is on the throne and I'm following him. This is what the teacher's been doing. He's saying, oh, by the way, you're human. You're not divine. There is a God who is divine. Take yourself off the throne. Accept life as it's been given. And then find enjoyment that comes from God as you pursue him. We can be very happy, joy-filled followers of Jesus as we put ourselves aside and pursue the God who gives true happiness and joy. Well, the teacher continues, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. All of this, the seasons and all this stuff, this is driven for us to be able to see that there is a God, that we will fear him, knowing that all our work does not last forever, but his work does. Remind us, we're not God, but there is one who is. And then he closes for today's passage. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. All things, all the crooked roads, crooked sticks, and the crooked mess of our world, he will bring it to account, and he will make all things new. He will straighten and level every road that we've walked. The question is, in the season we're living in, how will you respond to life? How will you respond to life? Not the one you wanted or hoped for. How will you respond to life as it is? I think the teacher has shown us this. Joyfully accept life as it comes from the hand of your Father God. Living under him because he's king, you're not. And living for him. Joyfully accept the life that you have under your Father. Understand all things, the good things, we praise him in the good moments. And when it seems like a difficult season has come to us from God, we praise him as well. Because he's God no matter what. Joyfully accept. I want to just define this joyfully accept because we can kind of go one way or the other on this. Accept does not mean with a victim mindset. Oh, this is my life. It's just everything's against me. Oh, I'm just like, it's just working against me. I'm just going to keep going, but it's working against. No. You're not responsible for everything that happens to you, but you are responsible for how you respond. God has given you the free will and the ability to respond. And that's what he holds us accountable to. So as we accept, we don't accept with a victim mindset. This is life. Or we will be destroyed. We joyfully accept. Understand, we have a response no matter what life comes, the cards life throws at us. Joyfully, we can get that one wrong too. So there's victim mindset. There's also bury your head in the sand mindset. You know, I'm just going to be joyful. You know, life just is like tearing apart and you're like, I'm just so happy. No, that's not what the teacher's saying at all. He understands there's tearing and there's mending. There's uprooting and there's planting. There's dancing and there's mourning. It's not burying our head in the sand and saying, well, I'm just going to be happy, happy, happy. No, it's understanding that I can accept life as it comes from my Father in heaven. And that means I can rejoice and give thanks in every season. Even when I'm praying that the season's short because I don't like this season, I can learn to give thanks, joyfully accept from the hand of God the season he's given. So I want to ask you today, what season are you in? And how will you respond to life as it is? Maybe you're in a season that's just like, oh, I hope it lasts forever. Maybe you're in a season where you're like, I hope it ends soon. How will you respond? Will you joyfully accept life as it comes from the hand of God, living under him and living for him as you pursue the God who gives satisfaction, joy, and all good things? You know, we get to celebrate communion today. I'm so excited because I think this fits in so well with what the teacher's been showing us. In communion, we celebrate Jesus' death on the cross, his body that was broken. That's what the crackers or the bread represents. The juice represents his blood that was shed for us. And it's because of the cross of Jesus that we, who have eternity in our hearts, have been paved a way, a road has been built for us to have that fulfilled through the work of Jesus on the cross. That because of his blood shed and his body broken for us, our sins are forgiven. And if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, you will find an emptiness until you do. There is only fullness in the person of God through the person of Jesus Christ, and his work on the cross accomplished our salvation. But here's the amazing thing. We're celebrating the death of Christ, but guess what happens 3 days later? He did not stay dead. He rose from the dead, conquering the power of sin and death. So yes, we are mortal on this side of eternity, but we will be resurrected immortal. No matter what life throws at us, we can rejoice because this is not the end of our story. But Jesus did not only raise from the dead. Guess what else happened? He ascended to the Father. He is right now at this very moment at the Father's right hand, and every power and every authority has been placed under him, which means no matter what you face, no matter what situation or circumstance or season you're in, there is a God who has authority and power over it, which means if he's allowed you to walk in it, he will give you the power and ability to walk through it. You are not alone. So today, as we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, it is a time to rejoice. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to invite the worship team up. And as we do, I want you to consider your season and consider the hard work, and it may be hard, to say, God, I praise you in the season I'm in. I don't maybe like the season, but I will praise you in this season because all things, life itself, comes from you. There's four stations. If you're in the chapel, there's one there. And so I just invite you, if you're new to Mount Olive, if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus, this doesn't represent anything to you yet. Would you consider placing your faith in Jesus? But if you have placed your faith in Jesus, there's four stations. Just come up the side aisles and then go back to your seat on the middle aisle. And if you're on the side aisles, you just have to do the side aisles both times. It's not that confusing. But grab the cup. They're stacked on each other. And then make your way back as you consider, God, what season am I in? And today I choose to joyfully accept, to celebrate because of the cross, because of the resurrection, because of the ascension of Jesus. I choose to joyfully accept life as you've given it. Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.